Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Geico.
Get it?
Bill Gates and Matthew Berry on Wednesday, October 20th.
Oh, no. It's not just me and you, though.
And Daniel Dopp.
Yeah, no. Grandpa Dopp.
Yes.
Grandpa Dopp.
Grandpa
Dopp. Can we take
Dopp.
A shot of Daniel Dopp here for those watching on the live stream? Just, if we can just, there we go, Haley,
you know,
look at
back,
that.
Everybody.
So Grandpa's old sweater is back.
I
for
it's a chunky cardigan is what we termed it last
a
year.
A chunky cardigan?
Yes.
It's like seriously, we could put soup in that thing. Like, I just, it is.
You borrowed it from Donovan McNabb?
I just something. I'm just saying, like, you say chunky cardigan, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. Like, that's, it's a... If a soup were a sweater, it'd be that.
It's a good-looking sweater. It is warm. It is itchy. It feels just like I have a sheep strapped to my body.
Interesting day to wear it, given that it's pouring rain outside here in Bristol.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah, and it's also, I like the fact that you're like, you know what? It's not enough to have something really itchy and scratchy around my face.
Right.
I now need it around my entire body.
Good call.
That's basically what Daniel has decided this morning.
I think it looks good. Just for the record.
I'm sure you do.
It's like 12 degrees in this studio. So, like,
it
you know.
Oh, my God. Yeah. You really are. Like, you guys give me so much grief about being old. You're, like, truly an old man.
I'm an old man because of you. I am old man adjacent, and it has changed my life. It is unreal.
Old man adjacent. That's a new one. I
like
it.
That's a good one. I like it. All of you. Everyone on the show is old man adjacent.
I'm actually, like, sweating today, which is another conversation for another time. Let's get to the injury updates. And it's just Matthew and I with Daniel today. Stefania will be back tomorrow. So we have a Thursday night football game to preview and plenty of injury updates. But we did get some news yesterday that Chris Godwin, talk about this is not quite how you want to score a touchdown. He scores a touchdown and breaks his finger on the same play. I guess the good news is he got the 6 points. But
He has nine more. I mean, that's the other good.
Right.
I mean,
like
right, yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why you have 10.
So he has a touchdown and a broken finger, and we know this much. He will miss week 8, which is the Bucs game on Monday night against the Giants.
Right here on ESPN, we're a company, man.
I don't have the...
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. You have literally not called
for that all week long. It's fine.
I took the iPad home. It's charging on my coffee table because that's how I need to use it, and it's a little thing that I use, and I just didn't bring it with me. And, of course,
You remember the sweater.
Of course I remember the sweater. Great-grandpa's wore this sweater.
Yeah, I understand, but you know what's going to help the show content? Maybe having the drops, it's fine. Good.
Fortunately, it'll be 100% charged by the time you get home.
It'll be very charged.
Yeah, go back and watch Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. Your dog can hear it when you finally get around to playing the drop, like at 6 o'clock tonight.
Matthew, it'll be all set for the Mike Clay show, and that's what matters. Okay.
Obviously,
very good point.
Figure that out, Mike.
In any event, Chris Godwin out for week 8. We'll see on week 9. Not quite there yet in terms of a hard and firm decision. For week 8, of course, Antonio Brown is eligible to play in week 9. So there's a Bucs conversation to be had anyways. But I think there are two questions here.
Yeah.
One, does somebody step up in his absence?
Mm-hmm.
Two, does this mean that Mike Evans should actually see more targets? I don't think this really impacts Tom Brady's value. Like, you're really going to sit Tom Brady against the Giants on Monday night?
Absolutely
I got an
not.
Answer for you. No, you're not.
No, absolutely not. I mean, so Tom Brady's been nothing short of fantastic this year. You're obviously starting Tom Brady. And by the way, you're starting Tom Brady for the rest of the year. Like, don't even think about it. Like, his bye week is the only week you're sitting him. And even then...
Maybe out of respect.
Out of respect. You keep him in the lineup. All right, so here's the thing. So there's been three different games that Chris Godwin did not play so far this year. Weeks 2, weeks 4, weeks 5.
Okay.
And in those three games, Mike Evans averaged 21.2 fantasy points per game. He scored a touchdown in all three games. He was a top 25 wide receiver all three games. Yep. And our colleague Mike Clay noted this on Twitter, that they have been using Mike Evans in the slot a little bit more this season. So his expectation, and, you know, of course, Mike does a great job with the wide receiver cornerback matchups. It's up on ESPN.com right now. I'm a company man.
I knew you were going to do that. You knew that. You did that on purpose.
So
it happened 8 times.
Part of an ESPN Plus subscription, by the way, well worth the money. Once again, I'm a company man.
I know you are.
So thank you, Field. Thank you. Somebody here is a team player. Anyway, he mentions that he expects them to do that even more to avoid shadow coverage by James Bradbury, who's been terrific so far this year. I think what you would see here in terms of other receivers that aren't named Mike Evans. Listen, we saw some Scotty Miller, who had a really nice game last week. He's been inconsistent so far this year. Tyler Johnson's pretty interesting to me. So in the last game that Godwin did not play, this is the week 5 game, he led the team with 61 receiving yards. He played a lot of snaps. And by the way, just to the eye test, look the part. He looked the part. I know he's a rookie, but he was impressive in that game.
So probably the conundrum here is that this may very well be a one-game scenario because Godwin could return in Week 9 and Antonio Brown comes back. Again, is eligible to play, I should say, in Week 9.
Correct.
So it's hard to envision if Antonio Brown and Mike Evans are active that you're going to be discussing playing Tyler Johnson or Scotty Miller. So basically what we're saying is how lucky do you feel with Scotty Miller or Justin Watson or Tyler Johnson? There's probably a fourth wide receiver who's eligible to play on Sunday for the Bucks or on Monday for the Bucks. I think if I had to throw a dart, I'm going to throw my dart at Scotty Miller.
Which I think is fair, but I think the important part of what you just said is throwing a dart because ultimately think about how this game plays out. Like you're starting Mike Evans, you're starting Rob Gronkowski. The defense is really good. Like the defense is playing as well as any defense in the NFL. And now you've got the human turnover machine, Daniel Jones. And it's not all his fault. The offensive line has been absolutely brutal, but there's a very good chance that, you know, Brady gets a couple of touchdown passes to whatever, one to Gronk, one to Evans, one to, you know, one to a backup tight end or whatever.
Right.
But remember, Leonard Fournette was involved in the passing game a lot more last week. So could you see just more of a split between Jones and Fournette? And they get a big, and there's a defensive score here as well. So I think there are going to be better flyers. Like if you're just like, hey, I need a guy this week because of buys or injuries or whatever. My guess is there are better flyers than Scotty Miller or Tyler Johnson. But I hear what you're saying in terms of we certainly have a longer track record of Scotty Miller than we do Tyler Johnson.
Yeah, I think I would consider some of the names that we had in the waiver discussion yesterday. Like Cole Beasley is available or at least was in 60% of leagues. I'd rather roll the dice there than some players on the Bucks offense. We're not sure just what kind of role they'll have on potentially a one-week basis. I feel like it's time to bring back news or noise.
Sort of. Let's do it.
Dez Bryant was officially signed, or will be officially signed, to the Ravens practice squad. This is Dez Bryant, who turns 32 in a week, who's been out of football for 2 years, Matthew. It's the name, it moves the needle because it's Dez Bryant, who for a long time was a superstar, not just in real football, but of course in fantasy football. Does this matter?
No.
Same. I agree.
I think this is noise. Play along with a bet. I would say it's noise. Do we have a sounder for that, Daniel?
I do not appreciate you.
Mm.
Understood.
Just today.
But that was a yes or no question.
No.
Okay. There you go. Thank you very much. All right. So no sound for news or noise.
Yeah. Sorry about
either.
That.
Understood. So 1,032 days ago was Dez Bryant's last game. He went 3 for 24 against the Eagles as a member of the Cowboys. I think that's the part that I'm having trouble with is that like the reason Dez Bryant's been out of football is because there were no takers.
Right.
He had been ineffective for the Cowboys. He wanted a new deal. I mean, there was some economics involved there, but like he had not been Dez Bryant, throw up the X, Dez Bryant in capital letters, you know, his last year with the Cowboys. And so now it's a couple of years later. And look, if you're out on the field running routes for the Ravens, there's a chance. But he's been signed to the practice squad.
Yeah. Is there a chance, though? So since Lamar Jackson took over as the starter, Hollywood Brown's the best thing they've had going at wide receiver.
Right.
And what is he right now in fantasy? Like a low-end wide receiver two?
Not even. Like, I think he's like a wide receiver three. Thirsty Kyle can look it up. My guess is he's wide off the top of my head. My guess is he's like on a points per game basis, he's like wide receiver 32 or something this year.
So I think the argument in favor of Dez Bryant would be, you know, so you hear how the wide receivers in Baltimore are averaging the second fewest fantasy points per game.
Right.
Only trailing the 49ers who have run the football so well and they've gotten it going of late. They've also had a ton of injuries. And if your argument, if you're going to make a Dez Bryant argument, is that, oh, yeah, but this is Dez Bryant. We're not talking about Willie Snead or somebody in that ilk. You're like, but is it, though? Like, is Dez Bryant an upgrade? As you said, it's been 1,032 days since he last played. And remember, this is not an economics issue this year. NFL practice squad players have a fixed salary for this 2020 COVID year. It's $12,000 a week.
Right.
Think about all the teams that could use a wide receiver right now. I mean, the Patriots are screaming for wide receiver help. The Jets are screaming for wide receiver help. And Dez Bryant was just sitting there. Like, it's not that it was going to cost them any money.
Right.
It's not going to cost them $5 million to sign Dez Bryant. We're talking about a $12,000 per week proposition. That's the part that has me a little bit concerned. I hope that we're wrong because it'd be fun to see Dez resurrect his career. But I think right now, if you're wondering, like, is it worth speculative ad, which is a term we like to use a lot in fantasy? Pass.
Yeah, what do you got, Secret Squirrel?
Wide receiver 46 on a per-game basis.
For Hollywood Brown?
Hollywood Brown.
I gave him way too much credit.
Yeah, as did I.
Wow.
I am a wide receiver 32, right? Yeah. Wide receiver 46. So, right, it's just it's not an offense that has spelled fantasy success for any wide receiver so far this year. We haven't seen it from Dez Bryant, and I don't know. Listen, you're rooting for him because it'd be a great story. It'd be a lot of fun to talk about. But no, I think this is, listen, if you want a guy that's been out of the league at wide receiver to play on your fantasy team, Antonio Brown is the flyer you take.
Yeah,
agree.
Calvin Johnson's really the guy that you want. But if you can't, then Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
He's available. Calvin Johnson's been rostered in 2.2% of leagues. So some leagues may not matter.
Stop.
Yeah, it's worth checking to see if he's available in yours.
Because the Giants last played on Thursday night, and now they're playing again on Monday night. It's a big gap. So they're not taking all the normal days off. They practiced yesterday, Tuesday. And Devontae Freeman was not part of the team's practice. The team does not have to submit an injury report until Thursday, but he missed yesterday with that ankle injury that caused him to sit out on Thursday night. I would think that Wayne Gallman is the next man up, Matthew. And I'm not trying to troll you here, but I'm kind of trying to troll you here. I don't know if you know who the team protected off of its practice squad this morning.
Which I'm means going like, to the only I don't look at the transaction waiver wire the way you do because I work with you and I know that you do that. That's part of your job here at ESPN. So I figure if anything important happens, you'll let me know. But based on the question, I feel like it was Alfred Morris.
Alfred Morris has been protected this week, which let's be honest, there's a tiny chance he would have been added by somebody else, right? Like,
sure.
Maybe the 49ers because of all their injuries and the familiarity with Kyle Shanahan, but even that feels like a stretch to me. But also beyond that is like protecting a player does not mean you're going to elevate him come game time, but it's a little bit of context about how maybe they are planning for the possibility of no Devontae Freeman on Monday night.
They're nervous. If nothing else, they think there's a chance they will be without Devontae Freeman on Monday night. It's early in the week, obviously, and I think because it's the Monday night game, the Giants don't have to file a practice report until tomorrow.
Right, Thursday. Yep.
Thursday, so obviously, Stefania, you'll have a lot more on that tomorrow on the Mike Clay edition of the 06-010. But listen, in a deeper league, is Wayne Gallman worth a speculative ad? I don't mind it. Like in our
terrible matchup, right?
It's a terrible matchup with the Buccaneers. Thirsty Kyle notes that if there's a positive here, it's that the Buccaneers do allow over 6 running back receptions per game. That's 7th most in the NFL. And he's a guy that did have 5 catches for 20 yards playing against the Eagles last Thursday night. So he is somebody that they would use in a pass catching role. And obviously, given how well that defensive line is playing and how poorly the offensive line of the Giants is playing, you could certainly see a number of, you know, Daniel Jones being under pressure and dumping the ball off to Wayne Gallman a decent amount, maybe some junk time as well. If I knew Devontae Freeman was out for this game, he'd be inside my top 30. Wayne Gallman would be inside my top 30. So a usable piece, not somebody that I'm like breaking the bank for or using my number one waiver claim on. But I'm just saying, like in our, he was claimed this morning in our 16-team war room league, and I thought that was appropriate. Like I didn't get him. Somebody lower in the standings than me. I'm in second place, NBD, no big deal. But so it took a while for, you know, the waivers to get to me. Like when you're picking 15th in a 16-team league, it's tough, right? Obviously, so yeah. Pickings are even slimmer there. You know, but again, it's not a big deal. It's not about where I am in the league. I think the important part is, it's second, just to be clear, but it's not important about where I am.
I wish I hadn't left my iPad at home so I could hit the horn button right now.
Yeah, I realize you don't have the horn button, so so there you go. Anyway, but I do think, it's worth, if you're in a deeper league, if you're running back desperate, it is worth grabbing Wayne Gallman.
Just a little bit
just
of an
to see. Yeah, but just to see.
Agree on that. One more update here, and it's just our daily Christian McCaffrey update. So
this was a weird one yesterday, right?
Christian McCaffrey entered practice yesterday, and he was designated to return, which means the team now has 21 days to bring him back to the active roster. We presume it'll happen much sooner than that. Christian McCaffrey goes out yesterday in, I believe, a black jersey, which I think the Panthers are one of the few teams that normally a team has red as like a non-contact uniform color. Anyways, the Panthers, because of their color scheme, use something a little bit different. But any event, Christian McCaffrey goes out in one jersey, and then as the media is watching, flips the jersey off or takes the jersey off and reveals a second uniform. That part was a little bit confusing for like 5 minutes on Twitter. Mostly the big takeaway here is that it's yet another step in the return of Christian McCaffrey. He remains unlikely to play in week 9. Their injury report.
Week 8.
Week 8, excuse me. Very good point. Their week 8 game status report is due later on today, Wednesday afternoon. So you'll get the official word on Christian McCaffrey. We'll talk about it more during the game preview tomorrow. Don't count on him playing. Another nice matchup here for Mike Davis, whose efficiency has dipped over the past few weeks. But in terms of fill-in running backs, we're still going to look back on him as one of the better waiver wire adds of the 2020 season.
He's been terrific. Yeah, Secret Squirrel.
I actually wanted to ask a question on the other side, but not if you still want to talk about Christian McCaffrey stuff. I had someone else I wanted to add.
I don't think there's anything to add to what Field said. Like, when he comes back, you're throwing him into the lineup. If we find out he is active for tomorrow night, we think it's unlikely, but we don't think it's impossible. They're holding out hope. Then we can discuss that tomorrow. I won't be on the show tomorrow. I guess what I would say is that it would be hard for me to sit Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, if Christian McCaffrey's active, even like, I just don't think, given what he means to that franchise, I don't think they're putting him out there as a decoy or as running back depth in case something, like if he's active, he'll have a role. I don't know that it'll be a significant, it's not going to be the role that we're used to seeing. Like, you'd still see some Mike Davis, and I guess you'll see some Curtis Samuel, who vultured the goal line run. He got like a 6-yard run, you know, which would have been nice for Mike Davis because he had a tough day at the office last week. But yeah, I agree with Field here, is that if somehow Chris McCaffrey is active, you're starting him, but we don't think he's going to be, and we are still of starting Mike Davis. We still have confidence in him despite the tough game last week and the fact that he hasn't been Mike Davis in capital letters for a couple weeks now.
Also, I saw that Dallas Goedert has been designated to return from IR as of today, correct?
Same thing as Christian McCaffrey. The 21-day window has opened for Dallas Goedert. Reporting out of Philadelphia suggests it's going to be at least another week, maybe two, before we see him on the field, but a positive sign in his progress as well.
And as long as we're talking, just I want to mention quickly, as long as we're talking about the Eagles and people that have been placed on that 21-day, you know, eligible to return list, Jalen Reagor also was placed on that, I believe, yesterday.
Monday, yep.
Yeah, Monday. So, anyway, that's a guy that's worth seeing if he's, especially if you're in a deeper league. I think Jalen Reagor is going to be pretty good.
I think he's going to be pretty good as well. Just don't take my Travis Fulgham magic away from me.
I want to say this. Dallas Goedert is rostered in 28.5% of leagues.
Dude.
If you are tight end starved, if you've got the position for it, great option
tough.
Here.
Might be tough. It's tough probably to carry a second tight end. If you're already sort of wishy-washy there, might be tough because it might not be until week 9 or 10.
Sure.
With all the bye weeks we have coming up right now.
But if you can find room.
If you can find room, I think it's a nice add.
I agree.
Really,
if you are tight end starved, if you're not like Daniel.
Right.
Because Daniel is clearly not starved.
Yeah, he's got Travis Kelce here.
I got tight ends.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily about tight ends. I'm just saying in general.
Oh, yes.
In general.
Sure, yeah.
Wow.
In general.
Did he just call you Doughy?
I think so.
Definitely Doughy.
I think so.
He's definitely Doughy. Listen, take one. I
didn't want to say it. It felt like a cheap shot to say takes one to know one.
Absolutely. 100%. I just love the fact that Daniel and I both have dad bods.
I love it.
Only one of us is a dad, though.
Accurate.
You're a dog dad. That counts.
I am a dog dad. Yeah.
You are a dog dad.
Yeah.
That is fair. I feel like that's one of the reasons for the grandpa sweater, though. Is it hot? Listen, I'm the king of the bulky shirt, man. Like, that's the way to go.
You guys are taking on yourselves.
Yeah, 100%.
Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that is perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade. Maybe even win your matchup with a surprise standout and keep the good times going with Truly. Bring the flavor to game day as only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Lemonade comes from in four refreshing flavors: original, strawberry, mango, and black cherry. Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly.
Shell knows that between every tee-up, layup, and batter-up, that you can't just catch up on all your favorite podcasts. So when you come to Shell, why not get three things done at one time? First, fill up with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus to help keep your engine running like new. Then, save up with the Fuel Rewards program and never pay full price for gasoline again. And finally, snack up with in-store rewards to save even more at the pump. Okay, time to wrap it up, guys. Make most of the stop you need to make with Shell. In engines that continuously use Shell V-Power Nitro Plus premium gasoline, see full terms and conditions at fuelrewards.com.
Can I have like 10 seconds to laugh at something? And I don't know if this happens. This may happen to both of you guys.
You want me to time you?
Sure. Go ahead.
Matthew
Berry version, wow. 10 seconds.
Yeah. No, here,
I've got a decent amount of people who tell me like they consistently watch the show.
Okay.
And listen to the show.
Sure.
And within that group of people, a good number of them still text me frequently between 10 and 11 a.m.
No way.
Monday through Friday.
You're like,
is it my wife?
Because
my wife is telling me, by the way, we got a babysitter for Thursday night. Good times.
Wait, yeah,
she just let me know. Like, do I need to know that?
Appreciate.
By the way, we're at 20 seconds. Yeah.
Wait, you took like 8 of them.
Hey, well, just, you know, welcome. Is this your first day on the show?
Yes.
Like,
hold on. I'll be real quick. You took 8 of my seconds. That's what Matthew Berry does.
I'm just like, it's pretty much on brand for me. I feel like this is your first day.
You are the most consistent analyst in fantasy football.
I really
am.
Who's
the most consistent player in fantasy?
I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? Like,
high floor.
I'm just saying, you know what you get with me.
Absolutely.
You know what, you know, for better or for worse, you know what you get with me, right? You know, when it comes to the com, the podcast, the TV show, whatever, like, you know what you're in for.
And to be clear, for worse. Anyway, let's move on to dynamic wide receiver duos.
Yes, sir. Yes. Indeed.
And let's just talk through them. And I don't know that we're not going to talk about players who are going to bench. We just, I'm sort of like, you know, if you're thinking about which guy might have a better outlook for this upcoming week, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf face off
both those guys
against the 49ers defense that still is without Richard Sherman, obviously will not have Nick Bosa, and also Solomon Thomas all season, but a defense that's played much more competitive of late. The 49ers are definitely one of the better coach teams in the NFL this year, Matthew. Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. I've got Lockett at 6, Metcalf at 5. You've got Lockett at 3, Metcalf at 5. Any reason? I mean, there's no reason to be concerned about DK Metcalf after last week. And do you feel like at all there's a chance that because Tyler Lockett has been this in the past, where like he has a, what was last week, 53-point game?
Right. Yeah.
There are other games where he goes like 2 for 21. And you're like, wait, what the heck, Tyler Lockett? Is there any reason, like, do we have any predictive metric that suggests when those days are coming?
Matthew's love hate column.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Wow. Wow. Secret scroll from the top rope.
That was really well done.
From the top rope.
You've been squatting on that one for a while, haven't you?
I gotta give it up for him. That was pretty good. Like, I got nothing.
You can take the rest of the day off, Daniel.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Pretty much. Can I join him?
Yes, I'll take the rest.
Can I just, like, reverse Undertaker gift? Just back into the coffin?
Yeah.
I'm Muerto. So I don't think we do. And look, the other thing is that I think this offense is different than years past when we've seen, like, when Tyler Lockett disappeared last year for a month, it seemed like, you know, there was like that knee injury, wasn't 100%,
right?
Or something like that. There was something that wasn't right. DK Metcalf was a rookie and they were running the ball. Like, this offense is different now. Like, for all the hashtag let Russ cook and everything like that, like, it's different.
Yeah.
And we didn't think it was possible. I guess I shouldn't say we didn't think it was possible, but, like, Russell Wilson is legit playing at a different level this year, which is crazy considering the high level that he's played at throughout his career. But he's on a different level this year. And I think that the offense has opened up. He's playing at a high level. And, you know, if there were an NFL draft, like, you know, if they threw all the players back, DK Metcalf is one of the first 10 wide receivers that is drafted by an NFL franchise, I believe.
I would think so. I think
I mean,
he's
like,
definitely in the
mix. He's turned into something really, really special. We already know that Lockett is great. And so it's a fairly narrow target tree, I think. You know, they like David Moore there, despite the hole that took back the DK Metcalf touchdown, which don't get me started. But they like David Moore there. And they like their tight ends, whatever. But it's a really narrow target tree on one of the most efficient and best passing offenses in the NFL. So I am less concerned about a dip off this year with the guy than I would be in years past. I know DK Metcalf put basically a goose egg up last week, but again, Patrick Peterson was all over him. He should have had a touchdown. What are you going to do?
Are they the most, I don't know if dynamic is the right word, but are they the best wide receiver duo in the NFL for fantasy? Or do you think that
this year? Yeah.
I mean, they're right there. I mean, Julio and Calvin are pretty right up there.
Julio and Calvin Ridley, these two, Dialer and DK. And then the other one that's sort of like knocking on the door is Justin Jefferson and Adam Peake.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Those are the three that come to mind for me.
Yeah. I mean, right. Those are absolutely, Terry McLaurin and Logan Thomas.
Sure.
Yes.
Obviously.
Damir Bird and.
Right.
And Nikhil Harry.
I mean, listen.
Jeff Smith and Vincent Smith.
Before Dak got hurt, Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb were starting to knock on that door. They were in the neighborhood. They were circling around, driving around, looking at their maps app. their ways, trying to figure out where they were going. But they were in the neighborhood.
They were in the neighborhood.
Yeah. So in any event, they're really good, both these players. I think it's an appropriate thing that Matthew's sitting here crossing his leg. We're kind of just lounging, just having a conversation about guys that we enjoy watching play football. So let's keep this rolling.
Yeah.
But the Atlanta Falcons, very casual lemonade conversation. Truly. Yeah. Has Julio Jones reestablished himself?
I would drink some Truly Lemonades. Can we get some of those? They're a sponsor.
Why can't we get
some Truly Lemonades?
Well, we do drink a show at 10 a.m., which
well,
is not
Matthew,
exactly ideal.
There's no such thing as a morning beer, so I don't know what you would do with it.
Truly is not a morning beer. Truly is not a beer product at all.
It's of the seltzers, it profiles as a breakfast seltzer.
Yeah.
I had to make an
argument. We're not arguing about breakfast seltzers.
Okay.
By the way, like, listen, I want a Kathy Lee and Hoda it. Like, let's get some Trulies on here. Like, just pound them.
I have been aware for years that you want a Kathy Lee and Hoda.
We're going to get right back to the Falcons in a second. But, you know, typically what happens is if Matthew and I have some level of disagreement, like the little TMR troopers, they come out in full force. Like, even if I'm like unquestionably right on something, like they'll come out and they'll support Matthew blindly and unwisely. Breakfast beer Twitter and breakfast beer Instagram.
They
have been all in my corner.
They 100% have.
Like,
1,000%.
Every Saturday
absolutely.
Morning. Yeah. Yeah.
Haley's getting in my ear and saying, for the Christmas show, we can do breakfast beer.
Ooh.
There you go.
That's an idea.
I like that. Yes, I agree. And by the way, I miss my TMR troopers. I miss my little TM army. You know, I had a bunch of them that would attack anyone that attacked me, and then they've sort of they have a couple still hanging tough. But feel free to start a troll army to go after.
It's my clay nation. That's really where they end up.
Fair enough.
So, anyways, let's talk about the Falcons wide receivers. When we get to Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, who for the season, Julio Jones is wide receiver 11. Calvin Ridley is wide receiver 4. But remember that Calvin Ridley started so hot. Do we think that Julio Jones has now overtaken Calvin Ridley again? Which sounds like a weird question to ask. But do we think that Julio Jones is clearly the guy amongst the two Falcons wide receivers that you would prefer to have in your lineups? Or does it even matter? Are we fighting over something that's just silly?
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if you want to talk about fantasy, I think Ridley was the better value this year.
Totally.
Obviously, right? In terms of just where they were drafted. Like, Julio Jones is doing what you expected him to do. Calvin Ridley is far exceeding what it cost you on draft day. That even if you thought he was a breakout for me this year, he was a breakout for you. He was a very popular breakout across the fantasy industry. And yes, to your credit, when we did our sleepers, busts, breakouts column, he was specifically your breakout for this year.
I mean, I really like that was like one of my colder takes of the offseason.
Right.
I appreciate you saying that. I just want to make sure that everybody knows that like anytime there's a great call, I definitely had it first.
Oh, interesting. I'm sure people will absolutely take that at face value and not bring up anything you've said that you've ever been wrong on before. Mm-hmm. So Ridley was certainly the better value, but I don't think it was matter. Like, look, we always talk about this in terms of fantasy success comes from talent and opportunity. Both guys have a lot of talent. Both guys, especially thanks to how brutal that defense is, have a ton of opportunity. They're going to be throwing a lot. They've got a really good quarterback in Matt Ryan. And by the way, you can sit here and see as, you know, people that have Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup on their roster, how important quarterback play can come in, can be when it comes to fantasy value.
Why isn't Matt Ryan a top 10 quarterback this week in our rankings? I've got him at 11. You got him at 13. Good matchup. Great wide receivers.
I don't think it's a great matchup.
Really? Tell me more.
I think the Panthers are a pretty good pass defense. Panthers are eighth against the pass over the last 4 weeks.
Hmm.
And look at who Thirsty. I don't have it in front of me, but pull it up real quickly. Look at who the Panthers have played so far this year.
Maybe I'm playing.
Like, I'm just. They played some really, really good.
They got
quarterbacks.
Shredded by Drew Brees with no Emmanuel Sanders and no Michael Thomas left. Marquez Callaway at 8 for 75 last.
By the way,
week.
Marquez Callaway is a good little player. I just picked him up in our dynasty league. You guys are sleeping on Marquez Callaway.
Undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
Practice squad player. Like, the Saints cut him.
I understand. He's a good little player.
Okay, I'm just saying, the context here, right?
I understand.
Drew Brees just diced him up.
I get it.
And Drew Brees is good.
Drew Brees is. Drew Brees
again,
is.
One of my tips.
Hashtag analysis.
I had that first.
You had that first on Twitter, definitely. Look, here's the thing but that game was a bit of a shootout. And fine, Drew Brees had a good team. Read me the list of players that, over the last 4 weeks, who have they played?
The Panthers.
Yes, the Panthers.
All right, so in week 7, they played New Orleans. Okay. Week 6, they played Chicago. Week 5, they played Atlanta.
Yep.
Week 4, they played Arizona. Week 3, they played Justin Herbert. Week 2, they played Tom Brady.
I mean, so other, other than the Chicago quarterback,
right.
They played a bunch of really good NFL quarterbacks and fantasy quarterbacks, right? Including Matt Ryan, who they face again. And so,
but that
Matt,
was the meltdown game.
Okay, but whatever. He was QB 26 that week against Carolina. 21 for 37, 226 yards. They're eighth against the pass. They're a top 10 scoring defense over the last 4 weeks. So, I mean, I have Matt Ryan at 13.
And that's right.
But you're asking me why is he not in my top 10? That's because, why he's not in my top 10.
Because you know what? We're going to make a board bet.
I'll tell you right now, I'm believing in the Panthers defense. Keep pounding. Right. Hashtag keep pounding, you hater.
That's a great idea. You know what?
Yeah.
You're wrong, but it's a great idea. Let's make a board bet. Do you want
to? Sure. I'm in.
I say Matt Ryan will be a top 10 fantasy quarterback in week 7.
I say, well,
week 8. Dang it. Whatever.
Can we try that again?
Matthew wins that one.
Yeah.
I say, was he not a top 10 quarterback last week? I say Matt Ryan will be a top 10 quarterback in week 8.
I say Matt Ryan will not be a top 10 quarterback in week 8. Put it on the board.
You know I don't have.
We have not done a lot of board bets this year.
No, we have not.
We need to spice things up a little bit.
Yeah, we really do.
We need spicy tomato.
We really do. But anyway, that's my concern on Matt Ryan is honestly, like, I think people are sleeping on the Panthers defense. I think they are better than they are getting credit for. Again, like, Thirsty Kyle, quickly look up for me what they are in terms of fantasy points allowed to opposing quarterbacks, where they rank. Again, you just read that entire list, right? Other than the Foles Trubisky game, right? Other than Chicago, every one of those quarterbacks is a fantasy superstar.
Yeah.
Fifth fewest fantasy points to opposing quarterback.
Yeah, they're going to get exposed this weekend.
Maybe.
Wow.
Just told you.
We'll
top 10 quarterback, Matt Ryan. I'm going to adjust my rankings. I got to move him up one slot to number 10.
There you go. I mean, like, you didn't even have him.
I love it.
I had him at number 11.
I had him at 13. Going at me hard. All right, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm fine on this. I might lower him a spot. Yeah. How about them apples?
Wow.
I might lower him a spot.
You won't.
Yes, I will. Okay. You watch me. All right.
Packers, Vikings this weekend.
Yeah,
Vikings coming off of their bye. A team to keep in mind is a trade off. Maybe a team that will trade a bunch of players, but they will not trade Adam Thielen, I don't think. He's Mr. Minnesota. If ever you read about an Adam Thielen trade rumor, unless we got word that Adam Thielen demanded a trade from the Vikings, just dismiss the rumor.
I'm going to throw a guy out. This is reckless speculation.
I love it. My favorite kind of speculation.
So I'm couching this with 100% no inside information.
Okay.
And reckless speculation, right?
Yep.
But I just want to throw this out there. Kyle Rudolph? No, he signed a 5-year deal like 2 years ago, I want to say. I don't know the details of that deal.
Yeah, it was a 5-year, $40 million extension. I made $35 million extension. Here's a problem.
Okay.
By the way, he was almost cut by the team last year. They agreed to the extension. His cap number decreased as a result of it. They needed the cap space. They have an excellent cap manager in Minnesota. If Adam Thielen is Mr. Minnesota, which he is because he's from Minnesota.
Sure,
from Minnesota,
of course. Yes.
Play at Minnesota State. No. Like, he is Mr. Minnesota. Kyle Rudolph is like the adopted Mr. Minnesota. Like,
he's beloved in Minnesota. There's no question.
Him and
beloved.
His wife have donated more time and energy than we could fit into an entire podcast to the state of Minnesota, to hospitals locally. Great
guy. I have met him a few times. He's good friends with Mike Golic Jr.
Michael Jr. is the godfather of one of his, if not both of his twins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, right, exactly. Like, yeah. I'm not breaking any news. If you follow either of them on social media, you're well aware of this. And so, but that's how I've met him a few times is through Gojo. And he's an awesome human being.
Yeah.
He's an awesome human being. So none of this is about him as a human being. None of this is about him.
Right.
I'm just, if we're wildly speculating, it looks like the Vikings have said, you know what? Not our year.
Right.
So we're looking around. Do we have a usable asset that's not, you know, potentially part of the future? Yeah. That's what I'm just saying, is that Kyle Rudolph can still play, and maybe there's another team that could use him more than the Vikings can this year, given the state of their season. I'm not asking. I don't want to even say suggesting, because I have no inside knowledge whatsoever. That's reckless speculation.
Yeah, we're not talking about things related to fantasy, so we'll just go back to fantasy football.
The only reason I bring that up is that if that were to happen somehow, Irv Smith Jr., who is, but prior to the break, had a couple of weeks where he was increasing his routes, increasing his targets, looking good. Remember, this is a guy they had a lot of hope for. They drafted high 2 years ago. I don't know. I think Irv Smith Jr. is a pretty good little player. And if there were suddenly an increase in that role, that'd be pretty interesting.
It's time for us to go all out in Madden NFL 21, which is available now. And the Madden Spotlight this week surrounds Justin Jefferson, who cracks my top 24 wide receivers. Daniel is at 18, Matthew Ebbett 22. Interesting player. Have we gotten to the point, as I was just saying a minute ago, I think this is the third best wide receiver duo in fantasy football. But have we also gotten to the point, Matthew, where it's set it and forget it for Justin Jefferson?
I mean, I don't know that he's set it and forget it in a 10-team, two-wide receiver league.
Okay.
But he's close. Mm-hmm. I think if you play in a three-wide receiver league, I think if you play in a full PPR where you have a flex where more often than not you're going to want a wide receiver in that flex, then I think he is. Like, I think he's a set it and forget it top 30 guy, probably a set and forget it top 25 guy, right? I mean, Jefferson has been a top 30 wide receiver three of the last four. Their defense is bad. We expect the Packers to have a lot of scoring on them. Like, yeah, I mean, Justin Jefferson will be on the love list this week.
Sort of feels like the biggest threat to Justin Jefferson weekly is Kirk Cousins imploding.
Sure.
But sometimes that Kirk Cousins imploding can work to your advantage. Remember the game against Atlanta, which they won. Kirk Cousins, I remember checking the score, box score at halftime, had like minus 0.84 fantasy points. And then he finished with, I think, three touchdown passes and 300 passing yards. But Justin Jefferson kind of needs Kirk Cousins to be on one side of the extreme. Does that make sense?
Yeah. By the way, I have a crazy idea.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins back to Washington in the offseason. Who says no?
Washington.
I actually don't think that's true.
Wow. Really?
That's based on no inside knowledge at all. Washington's going to need a quarterback. I don't think they believe Kyle Allen is the future.
Really,
it
really
appears
tough
like they've
to
moved.
Pay.
It feels like they've moved on from Dwayne Haskins.
They have.
And I will tell. This is the one piece of information I do know. I'm just throwing. That's another. It's wildly speculative. Wednesday, the one link that I'll just say this: Kirk Cousins and Dan Snyder get along really well. The issue is Bruce Allen. The issue in Washington with Kirk Cousins was Bruce Allen. That's on the.
I think the big issue right now is that you're already paying Alex Smith $27 million per year. And we love Alex Smith. It's hard from a cap perspective to afford he and Kirk Cousins in the same season.
I'm saying next year. I'm saying not this year. Obviously not.
I'm saying next year. It's still hard.
Next year. Got it. Okay. I thought Alex Smith's deal was done after this year.
I think he's got like four more years. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
He's got a while. Okay. And I don't know if they'll right. I don't know. I don't want to get
bad.
Into it. Yeah. Anyways,
never mind.
Move things along.
I'm just saying that would be fun. I'm just saying because, you know, just as a fan, I like Kirk Cousins.
Let's move. I know you do. Let's keep things going here. Just a couple more. Bengals wide receivers this week have a great, great matchup. Remember last week, Juju Smith-Schuster, Undertaker gift himself back onto the fantasy radar against the Titans. We saw him. We saw Deontay Johnson have a big day. Not Chase Claypool. But do you believe that, first of all, AJ Green is back after back-to-back solid games? And do you think there's a chance that all three Bengals wide receivers, Tyler Boyd, A.J. Green, and T. Higgins, could be started this week against the Titans?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Titans have struggled in the secondary somewhat. We expect Tennessee, you know, right? I mean, right. And they allow the 13th most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. Again, right, we just saw they helped bring Juju back from the dead. So, yes. I mean, when you think about how much Joe Burrow is throwing, he's thrown 36 passes or more in every game except one this year. Like, they're just throwing a ton.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and by the way, we don't expect Joe Mixon in this game. So, you know, there's not the need necessarily to, quote, establish the run with Giovanni Bernard the way you might feel that way with Joe Mixon. The only concern here is given how bad the defense is, you know, did they just steamroll them? The Titans, do they steamroll them in a way where it's just like it's all Derrick Henry and so the pace of the game is slower? Right.
There might be fewer possessions or
right.
a shorter amount of time of possession, but I think that actually is exactly what you're looking for here is for Derrick Henry to have like 125 rushing yards in the first half and for this to be 21-6 by the time you reach halftime and Joe Burrow's thrown it 40 times
right.
in the game in total. I actually think it's a really good game script for them. Really solid game script for them.
You talked about Joe Burrow as one of your top quarterback add for the week.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree with that. Look, you and I both talked all season long about how we believe in T. Higgins, and we certainly like him a lot. Tyler Boyd's been nothing short of special since Joe Burrow showed up. Yeah, and listen, there have been signs of life from A.J. Green the last 2 weeks. So
yeah, certainly
great.
Looked better. We'll keep an eye.
Certainly looked better. But that's how I would rank them, by the way. Boyd, Higgins, Green.
I would rank him exactly the same way. And we're going to keep an eye on Joe Mixon's status if he even practices today. He did not practice at all last week. So we'll see whether or not he has a shot for this Sunday. Let's go to the Panthers wide receivers. DJ Moore has been much better recently, Matthew. And Robbie Anderson's been good all season. DJ Moore has three straight top 25 finishes. Has he turned the corner, or do you think this is more just good touchdown luck because he's had a couple long run after catch opportunities?
I think he has turned the corner in this sense. I agree with you. He's definitely gotten some touchdown luck, and the concern is he's still not getting a ton of targets, but he's looked like DJ Moore. This is the important part, and you think about how this Carolina Panthers offense wants to operate, and we've talked about this. That's by design. They want to get those guys in space and take advantage of their speed. Like, you know, whether it's DJ Moore, whether it's Robbie Anderson, whether it's, listen, Curtis Samuel, you know what I mean? Like, or, you know, the running backs, right? And Davis McCaffrey. They have a lot of guys that if you can get them in space, have a lot of speed and can take it to the house. And I think that's by design how they've been using DJ Moore.
It has been exciting to see him look like himself. But to your point, like, you know, if there's a guy that maybe it's not all luck when he has back-to-back or two out of three games with like a huge run after catch, DJ Moore will be one of those guys. He's been one of the better players in terms of yards per catch after the catch over his past, I guess what, he's been in the league for what, two or three seasons now.
And by the way, he's averaging 18.3 yards per catch, that seventh highest in the NFL. And you just, if you watch those games, you know those aren't all deep shots. Like a lot of that is yards after the catch that is generated by DJ Moore. So yeah, I'm as a top 20 play this week. I have Robbie Anderson ranked higher, but it's certainly a good matchup. And I like the, you know, listen, I think that DJ Moore is back to what you drafted him to be or what you should have drafted him to be, which is he's a solid wide receiver too.
You know what? DJ Moore has narrowed the gap, but it's not like Robbie Anderson has done anything differently, right? So he's narrowed the gap, and that means nothing about Robbie Anderson. It means everything about how DJ Moore has performed of late. Daniel, what do you got?
So I'm curious. We see how much Teddy Bridgewater has thrown, how much he has utilized both of these wide receivers, as well as a little bit of Curtis Samuel and those tight ends without Christian McCaffrey. Do you think that the workload of the running back position changes when CMC comes back in a way that negatively affects either of these pass catchers?
Nah, because you get such a better run after catch player out of the backfield than Christian McCaffrey, right?
I think the offense will be more efficient, right? And so you're in scoring opportunity more. And by the way, it's another thing, not that defenses weren't accounting for Mike Davis, especially, you know, after a couple games, but Christian McCaffrey is going to be the focal point of any defensive coordinator's plan. Like, what do we do about this guy?
Yep.
So I understand the question, but no, I just think the Panthers offense is going to be, it's going to be a fun one.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun one.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing them at close to full strength sometime soon. We're going to get to
one more
in a minute. Okay. One more being Teddy Bridgewater or what?
One more being, you can talk Teddy Bridgewater. If you want to talk the other topic, you can, we can save it. We got a show tomorrow. We can talk about stuff in too.
Yeah.
Behind
we can
the
talk about the Rams wide receivers one more time.
Sure.
Yeah.
We can do that.
I don't know what to add, though, from yesterday's show. Right, Matthew? We talked about them. Like, have we reached the point now, and this was the question we visited yesterday, is are both of them, or either of them, or are none of them lock wide receivers in your top 20 every single week?
I do not think they are still set it and forget it, don't look at the matchup wide receivers. You know what I mean? Like they're more often than not, they're in your starting lineup. But in terms of like, I'm not looking at any other options I have. I'm not looking at the matchups. No, I don't think you can be. On the season, my little Cooper Kupp is wide receiver 32. Robert Woods, wide receiver 28. That's not what you drafted. And both guys were drafted, you know, as top 20 wide receivers. Woods went, you know, wide receiver 17 or so. So it's been disappointing for both these guys. And this week, playing the Dolphins, you know, top 12 defense against opposing wide receivers. They've had a bye week to prepare for this game. So they've had 2 weeks to prepare this game. Like, Field, you and I both have them outside our top 20.
Man.
I mean, not barely, but like.
No, I feel you.
Yeah, I mean, like, so the question is like.
You know what, though?
Are you even thinking, like, because there are certain players like Calvin Ridley. You're not looking at who Calvin Ridley is facing, right?
Correct.
You're just. Calvin Ridley is in your lineup starting every single week. It doesn't matter who he's playing.
But here's the problem with the Rams.
What's that?
You're going to say, like, are you looking at who they're playing and that dictates my ranking of them? To a degree, yes. I've also learned from these two players that, like, their sporadic awesome weeks are often unpredictable.
Yeah, it's fair.
Remember Cooper Kupp? Didn't Cooper Kupp have, like, four touchdowns against the Vikings a couple of years ago on Thursday Night Football? And it's like the Vikings, who I know they're a shamble of a defense now.
But they were good back then.
They were good back then. It seems to me that they are just the random. They are sort of like Tyler Lockett in that way, right?
Yeah, a little
they
bit.
They could be real old Tyler Lockett.
Yeah,
where you could be great or bad against anybody. All right, we're going to get to Scott Spratt from Football Outsiders in just one moment. But first, Hey, Daniel, how do you banish high rates on car insurance?
Essence of Dittany, maybe?
Not quite. You switched to Geico during Geicoween.
That was a good one, Field.
October is their favorite time of the year, and the folks over at Geico have been working even harder to cast out high rates and craft just the right policy for you and your family. Switching to Geico isn't so scary. Oops, I just changed this.
Sorry. Uh-oh, that's okay.
Oh, man, I'm getting phone calls. Switching to Geico isn't so scary, especially when they could brew up spellbinding savings just for you. So get a quote today at geico.com and see just how much you could save. No eye of newt needed. Happy Geicoween, everyone.
You know, there's another podcast we think that you guys may like. Overheard at National Geographic, a show that takes you to the edges of our big, weird, and beautiful world. Documenting democracy, untwisting the world's largest tornado, searching for wrecks of lost slave ships, accidentally inventing a new color. These are just some of the curiously delightful conversations you'd overhear at Nat Geo headquarters. Listen to Overheard at National Geographic, wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Matthew Berry, why don't we welcome in our friend Scott Spratt from Football Outsiders.
That's right. So footballoutsiders.com is one of the contributors to ESPN. So you've and it's part of ESPN Plus. Scott Spratt is somebody that does a lot of the fantasy analysis and for Football Outsiders, does a lot of analysis for them. You can see his work at footballoutsiders.com and, of course, here on ESPN. He's been a friend of the show, and he comes back to talk a little Week 8. Scott, thanks for joining us, my friend.
Thanks for having me back on, Matthew. Hope you're doing well.
I am, my friend. Let's dive into this. And so Carson Wentz has kind of had an up-and-down year so far NFL-wise. Fantasy-wise, he's better, and you think he keeps going this week?
I really do. I mean, it's not a secret that the Eagles have had a lot of offensive line injuries. Andre Dillard and Brandon Brooks have been out for the season. Jason Peters and Isaac Seumalo have been on IR. Lane Johnson suffered another injury last Thursday. But I think for fantasy players, sometimes we forget how big of a lever that can be for fantasy production. Something we haven't considered with Wentz's struggles from a passing perspective in fantasy. But four of the teams he's faced, Washington, LA Rams, Pittsburgh, and Baltimore, are top 10 teams in adjusted line yards, so pass rushing quality, basically, on defense. This week is probably going to be a lot easier facing the Cowboys. They're a bottom half team with a 6.1% adjusted line yards on defense, and they just traded pass rusher Everson Griffin. So it seems like a good opportunity for him to take advantage of a Cowboys defense that is a booster of passing yards per attempt and passing touchdowns per attempt, but maybe more importantly from Wentz's perspective, a big cutter of interceptions per attempt and fumbles per dropback. So Wentz is outside the top 10 in average fantasy points per game this season, even though he's had five rushing touchdowns, kind of an unsustainable number there. But I would say positive passing regression and the improving health of his pass catchers puts him in the top 10 in my true talent rankings. And I have him in the top five this week because of the positive matchup.
Yeah, I think one of the things you were saying there is, like, you know, it's a good week to take advantage of the Cowboys. It's every week's a good week to take advantage of the Cowboys. I have him as QB6, so you and I are right there,
right there with him
on Carson Wentz. Let's move to L.A. Field and I were just talking about the wide receivers. I want to talk about the running backs here for a second. Been tough to sort of figure out this backfield a little bit. Feels like we got some clarity last Monday night when we saw, like, basically it was a split between Henderson and Malcolm Brown. You like Darrell Henderson against Miami this week.
I do. I think I'm probably generally more optimistic for Henderson in general. So it seems, just looking at yards per carry, that this is a pretty even split. Henderson leads the way with 4.7 yards per carry, but Malcolm Brown and Cam Akers are right there with 4.2 and 4.3. What I would say is, looking at a stat that looks at mistake avoidance can give you a really big hint here. And Henderson has a bigger lead with a 60.9% success rate versus under 50% for Brown and Akers. Henderson is actually top five at the position in that respect, while Akers and Brown are outside the top 40. So some of his carries have been a little bit higher difficulty, either like third and short situations or near the goal line, and it has made his sort of yards per carry difference seem a little bit less than it is. He's actually had 14 or more touches in five of the last six games since that week two breakout. And so he's a top 20 true talent running back for me. And he actually boosts even further to number 12 for me this week against the Dolphins. The Dolphins, they're much better defensively than I think their reputation would suggest, but they have a big split between their pass defense and their run defense. They're sixth in DVOA pass defense, but 32nd worst in the NFL against the run. They've actually gotten their cornerbacks, Xavier Howard and Byron Jones, both healthy. And I think they were a big part of shutting down the 49ers passing attack. But it's the kind of split defensively that you see running backs really take advantage of. The two standout examples I have are from last playoffs, when Derrick Henry ran for nearly 200 yards against the Patriots and Ravens, two teams with that extreme split of bad run defense but good pass defense. I'm not saying Henderson is anything close to Henry and is not going to produce like that, but the Rams do have the number one run-blocking offensive line. So this could be a situation where the Rams prioritize running to try to take advantage of a relative weakness of their opponent.
Yeah, listen, I think that's a great point here, by the way. You mentioned the workload and how that's been going, and I certainly agree with your point that the Dolphins' defense is better than they get credit for. But here's the thing. Over the last five games, Darrell Henderson has 77.4% of the Rams' running back red zone touches. When they get in close, actually, Darrell Henderson's been the guy. I know Malcolm Brown punched in Monday night, but for the most part, it's been Darrell Henderson, 77% of the red zone touches of all running backs for the Rams. Dolphins, the sixth worst red zone defense so far this year. So that's something that's an area where they've struggled. You and I both have Darrell Henderson as a starter this week. Last thing I want to move in terms of positive matchup for this week, Scott, Noah Fant. Now, Noah Fant started like gangbusters, got hurt. Then the rookie tight end, Albert O. I'm not going to pretend that I can pronounce his last name. So I'm just, Albert O played a lot of snaps last week. Do you think that was because of Fant still coming back from injury, a scheme fit, whatever? Tell me what your thoughts are on Noah Fant for this weekend.
I mean, the Broncos may rely a little bit more heavily on two tight ends going forward. It seems like Albert O may be a big weapon for them, in particular in the red zone. But even though Fant was coming off that ankle injury, he did return to his normal rate of about 70% of the offensive snaps played. So from that perspective, I trust him. And he's been probably a lot better from a fantasy perspective than you would realize so far this season. He has a 19.5% target share in weeks 1 to 4 and 7, just missing that little time in between. He's sixth in average PPR points per game. So really, I may be a little underrating him a bit, having him outside the top 10 in my true talent tight ends. But I have him ninth this week because I actually think the Chargers are really a positive matchup there. They're allowing a top 10 DVOA rate to opposing tight ends and are a top 10 booster of yards per target and receiving touchdowns per target to the position. So even though Alberto may be getting a little bit more involved, I think that Fan is probably back to being close to a top 10 option and a boosted option this week against the Chargers.
I've never heard the phrase a tight end booster. I like that. I like that phrase, Scott. I enjoy that. by the way, Fant has seen at least five targets in every game so far this year. Clearly, to your point, the workload is there. We agree about the matchup as well. Chargers allow the sixth most yards to an opposing tight end per catch. Let's move on to some guys. I am as a top 10 play again with a tight end position. Like, oh, you have a pulse? Great, you're in a top 10.
it's true.
Right. I mean, it's absolutely brutal, and we all agree on Fant's talent. Let's move to some guys that you're not as crazy about this week in terms of their matchups. And the last couple of weeks have been sort of DeAndre Swift. Secret squirrel, close your ears. You're not going to hear this, but you're not feeling DeAndre Swift against the Colts this week.
I don't. I know it's shocking. And I really want to buy in. He's had 14 and 9 carries the last 2 weeks, his two highest totals of the season. But he's played just 38% and 45% of the team's offensive snaps in that time. In the range between 35 and 45% he's been in all season. And he's actually had fewer carries than Adrian Peterson in that time. So despite the recent success, this is still very much a timeshare. And the Colts are really not a team you want to face with or without a timeshare. They're the number 4 overall defense in DVOA, but top 5 against both the pass and the run. The last 3 games they've played, they've held David Montgomery to 27, Kareem Hunt to 72, and Joe Mixon to 54 yards despite a lot of carries. So if Swift's not even getting their carry volume, this could be a very difficult matchup. And for me, he's probably still top 20 in PPR, but maybe a player you want to avoid in standard leagues or from a DFS perspective this week.
Yeah, find somebody who looks at you the way Matt Patricia looks at Adrian Peterson. Yeah, I mean, guy's averaging under 3.5 yards a carry and still getting 14 carries a game. What do you got, Secret Squirrel? Anything you're piping in here?
No, not piping in here. I got too much Lions love to be able to pipe in here. We don't have enough time for all of it.
All right, last one here, Scott. I want to talk about Sterling Shepard. Now, had an impression, was injured, came back, looked good. One of the few bright spots for the Giants in that Thursday night game against the Eagles. Got a ton of targets, but now facing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which is a defense that's playing as well as any in the NFL. What are your thoughts on Shepard on Monday night?
Yeah, it sounds like we're on the same page here, Matthew. Came back off that turf toe injury, immediately reestablished himself as the number one target among the wide receivers. He had eight. Darius Slayton and Tate combined for just six. So I'd say that from a true talent perspective, he's back to being a regular lineup contributor for fantasy. I have him 33rd at the position in true talent, but he falls to 39th for me at the position this week. The Buccaneers, you may recognize them as a really good run defense. They were number one in DVOA run defense last season, but more middle of the pack against the pass. But this season, they're top two against both the run and the pass, and some of their younger cornerbacks have really broken out. Both Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean, they're both allowing fewer than 5 yards per target this season. So they're actually in the top seven of 90 cornerbacks that have faced 10 or more targets in that respect. So they're really good on all levels of their defense at this point. And it's just going to be tough to really start any Giants wide receiver this week. But especially with the matchup, it's just very difficult.
By the way, the Buccaneers are also fifth in pressure rate. It's hard to throw a pass when you're on your back. Like, you know, let's be clear. I mean, it's when you're constantly under pressure, when you're on your back, hard to throw a pass. Hey, Scott, we appreciate your time as always. Thanks. We will talk to you again. If anyone wants to follow Scott, you can do so. Follow him on Twitter at Scott_Spratt. And of course, you can find his work at footballoutsiders.com. And again, Football Outsiders contributes to ESPN, so you'll probably find some of his work on ESPN as well. Good job, my friend. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, Matthew. You too.
Thanks, Scott.
All right, guys, let's do some social questions to run this thing out.
One piece of news to do.
Yes.
Just and not exactly important given the timing because they're on a bye this week, but the Houston Texans have announced that they have shut down their facility after a player tested positive for COVID-19. They found out last night the Texans are on a bye this week. They return to action in week 9. It would seem, based off of how other situations like this have unfolded, that it probably won't impact their ability to get into their practice facility in a normal routine next week. But we're putting it on your radar, as we have learned this year. Every time you think you have an understanding about how COVID-19 could impact an NFL game, we are throwing a curveball.
Well, because also, by the way, I'm no Stefania Bell here, but I believe part of this protocol is then they're going to start doing contract tracing. And then I am guessing that, you know, the Texans... Why am I blank? Packers. They played the Packers last Sunday, right? So I'm not speculating. Like, I don't want to do any more reckless speculation. But my point is like, it's always notable when any team has to shut down their facility because you think about who do they just play, who have they been in contact with, et cetera, et cetera. So, but to your point about the Texans, they aren't a bye this week. It's obviously a story we will continue to follow right here.
All right, let's do couple social questions here real quick. This first one comes from at Zion's Firstborn. Says, Justin Jackson or Joshua Kelly, rest of season, guys?
You know what? I'm going to go with Joshua Kelly, and here's why.
Okay.
When Austin Eckler returns, which I know the last term phrase we heard was later rather than sooner,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance that Joshua Kelly still has a bigger role than Justin Jackson, who I think up until that Austin Eckler return I prefer, but for the final 6 or so weeks of the season, it could be Joshua Kelly back to that next man up role.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. My initial reaction, though, was neither. Honestly, is that I think it's going to be a little bit of a guessing game here. They've found something with Justin Herbert. And so my argument might be I think it's going to be a more efficient offense under Herbert. They're going to be more pass heavy, honestly, but feels like they prefer Kelly in the red zone a little bit more than Jackson. But again, we have such a small sample size here. I would agree with you. I actually just from an eye standpoint, I think Kelly's the more talented player. I know he's been inconsistent so far this year, but I will say that I think the difference between them is going to be negligible until Eckler comes back. So who would you rather have is a sort of like, you know, whatever, 55-45 kind of thing. Like,
agree.
Yeah.
All right, one more question. This comes from at Cheese Sando wants to know, what is your favorite non-chocolate candy?
Non-chocolate candy? Skittles. I love Skittles.
Skittles. There's a handful of them. I really love I love Sour Patch Kids. I love Spree and Sweet Tarts. I really like those. That's a chocolate one. I was going to say. And then I also love, you're going to make laugh at me because they're old timey candies.
Wafers.
Not that old.
Wafers.
But like I don't even know what they're called, but they're caramel and then they have a cream center. You know what I mean? Like some people call them cowtails.
Yeah, cowtails.
Cowtails.
That's correct.
Literally, like it's a It's literally, it's caramel, and in the middle is just like a cream center, like a white cream center.
I'm actually legitimately disappointed that you didn't mention like a hard rock candy, like some kind of thing that you would, I expect, you know?
Wow. Saltwater taffy. No, but that's the...
Cowtails are dope.
Yeah. That's and by the way, I'm a crazy Jelly Bean fan. Like, I'll go to Jelly Bellies. Like, I
the right flavor,
once a week.
Though.
Yes, 100% of the right flavors.
Stuff. None of this like Harry Potter booger flavor stuff. None of the butter popcorn.
I'm with you.
Citrus
like you
variety.
Go to, right,
I'm
you go to a candy store and you have to pick it out. I don't want any of the assorted. Like, I need to pick my Jelly Bellies.
We're back on Thursday to preview the game and do so much more. Talk to you then.
Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.